How are ya?
I think I'm doing quite well today.
How the hell are ya?
I've been gone.
Yes.
I have been gone for quite some time. 4 weeks, actually.
It's a long freaking time. I felt very lonely.
I know, and I love how on the podcast it sounds like I've only been gone for a week, but it's been like a whole month.
I know, it's been fun.
Yes. Yeah. I missed the podcast, to be honest, quite a bit, but I loved being away.
Yeah.
In the European heat.
Oh.
It was really good.
How so lovely. Nice. Are you freezing?
Freezing here, and yeah. Like, I only got the smallest tan. Like, I think if I had one more week, I would have been a little bit more, like, bronzed.
Mm.
But the small tan that I did have is now completely covered because I've got a fully cover up now.
Yes. And by the time summer comes around, it'll be gone.
Oh, for sure.
Mm.
But then, Australian summer, I'm just too scared to go in the heat of Australia.
No, it's too dangerous in Australia.
Like, the UV rays are
the UV fricked. Rays, the ozone layer.
The ozone. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, Osmosis Jones. I love that movie.
Osmosis, what the hell's that? Which studio?
I'm not as familiar with the whole, movie thing as you are, but I'm going to say Pixar.
Definitely not.
I'm going to say... I'm excited to be home. Like, I always get, like, this burst of motivation coming home, which is nice. Like, just feel, like, inspired to do all the things I plan. When it comes to traveling and me, like, taking photos while I'm traveling and me, like, editing them and, like, putting them up on my story and, like, the thrill I get of that.
The thrill.
It's
the,
like,
sexual thrill.
Oh, yeah, but, like, I get pure joy from it. Like, I really, really enjoy photography. I always have. But, like... Especially because I got a new camera. The thrill of it.
I know. You just brushed me off this way. You're like...
Yeah. Look at the thrill. But, like, I wish, like, work on social media came that easy breezy to me.
Well, that's why it's called work on social media.
Yeah. Thinking about content is difficult, but, like, just living every day and then making content as you live every day, I feel like that's the key.
Yeah, but you're also traveling. Traveling has a different energy.
Oh, you're it's a different way of living, I feel. Sometimes I don't think of home, like my base country and city, as my home sometimes. And when I'm overseas, I feel more at home. Like, at least in this trip, I definitely didn't, like, it was only a month long, so I didn't really miss anyone. I definitely communicated with people I need to communicate with. But, like, not miss, like, I need to be back home. I like besides, like, Presley, my beautiful dog, like, he was the only person that it made me sad to think about him, where I didn't feel sad, like, I missed people, but I didn't feel sad, like, I need to run back home. This, I know, you're looking at me like a little puppy dog right now. I missed you and the podcast very much. But
me and the podcast? Why can't you just miss me?
I missed you very much.
Yeah.
But, God, like,
I don't believe that.
My point was that, like, I feel like when I'm traveling, it feels like I'm at home. But not necessarily in, like, a nostalgic way, in a way where it's like I actually get to live now. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm on holiday. It feels like I get to just live life. And then when I'm back home, it's like waiting each day, like in home life, not in everyday things, but in, like, home life, it's like, oh, wait until the day I get to go live again because no one wants to go out at 10 p.m. on a Monday night here. Like,
isn't that really sad?
The way we live here or the way they live there?
Your attitude towards traveling and your home life.
Oh yeah, it is. I know, that's what I was saying. I was reflecting on it and I was like, it's actually sad. Like, I realized when I come home, I don't feel like this is, I feel like this is the holiday from my real life. That's
wow,
that.
What a depressing holiday.
It's not even
that
depressing,
lasts
it's
a long time.
Yeah, but, like, that's what I mean. It's like a weird holiday where I'm like, I don't really feel like this is, like, my actual life. My actual life is there. But it's very easy to feel like you're in autopilot when you're just in day-to-day life.
Oh, most definitely. Like, I feel like that all the time, especially, you know, as you go through motherhood, there's a lot of repetition.
Oh, yeah.
So you're kind of doing the same shit. You're getting up, you're changing nappies, you're doing this, you're cooking, you're blah, blah, blah. It's like the same kind of shit. And I get that. But then again, maybe I can't talk because I haven't been overseas in a few years.
Mm.
Like, it's been a while for me.
For me as well, like, I feel like I do it so often.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm overseas, like, every 6 months at minimum. So, like, for me, it does. It's there's very much half-half of each place.
I know.
It really wasn't, a place to escape my problems. It was more of a place to kind of give me space to reflect and then, like, still live life and still feel like, oh, I can still go on with the day because I want to make the most of the day still. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, quality that I wish I could hold on to, which I know I can hold on to, but I find it harder to hold on to when I'm back at home here.
Well, the Australian lifestyle is like the complete opposite of what the European lifestyle is. Like, everything is closed by 9 o'clock.
Dude, in Greece, we were eating dinner at like 10:30.
So that's bonkers. And that was when it started getting
busy.
That is bonkers to me. Crazy. Like, people tell me they take their kids out at like 10:30 at night. I'm on a weekday. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to put him to bed so I can eat my snacks.
Yeah. I was actually talking to a taxi driver and he was like, oh, like, what do you do? Like, on a Wednesday night, what do you do? He's like, you go to the gym, then you go have a swim at the beach, then you maybe go for a bite with your friends or like a drink, a cafe. And I was like, oh, no, like, everyone finishes work by like 6, maybe go to the gym.
Come or like home, quickly have come home and go to bed.
Yeah, or like watch TV for endless hours and go to bed. Mm. Like, I feel like if I asked majority of the people I know, that would be their answer.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And so, like, it's just such a different contradiction to like what they do there and how they look at life. And I wonder why that is. Because we're very multicultural here. Like, is it just because we feel like we need to be working because of what our ancestors have continuously done to come to this country for, like, a better life and better opportunities, so we need to make the most of those opportunities? But that also puts this pressure on us that maybe isn't as forceful in countries where they've just been going for years and years and years and years of the same stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not,
I don't know, it's hard to say, because on one level, the way structurally a city like Athens is, everyone lives on top of each other, so a lot of people are in the same, there's a lot more people in smaller areas. So everyone's kind of with each other and on top of each other. Whereas even in Melbourne and the suburbs, it is not like that. We are very separate. We live to ourselves. It is very expensive here. They kind of drive here the mentality of, you need to work, you need to buy a house, you need to pay it off.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the drive here. And I think it's true when you say, because of the multicultural aspect of it, our grandparents came here to work, 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 and that is kind of passed down to each generation.
Yeah.
So now, while they've kind of modernized and kind of living this happy-go-lucky party life, maybe, I don't know, I've been to Europe, but not a lot of Europe. Whereas we're here being like, no, we have to work, work, work.
Yeah.
Because that's what the generations before us thought.
Yeah.
But they've adapted over there. We've stayed the same.
Yeah. I could talk about this topic all day, especially being someone that's like, comes from a European background and like has migrated over to Australia, like and have grandparents that like were born in Greece.
Yeah.
The traditionalism that they carried with them that is so beautiful and I love, but also when you go back to the home country is no longer as strict.
No, nowhere near.
And they have really learnt to like let go and just like let life flow. And I think like that's my perception of it. And then I think that back here, it's more still that fear and that scarcity mindset.
Yeah, well, they don't.
Which is being led, like, passed down.
I think it's also they don't want to let go of what they left back at home. So they hold on to these traditions and these, that sense of mind so tightly that's, they're so strict about how they pass these things down onto generations. Like, I talked to my grandmother about what was it like in Kokinoplor when you were there, and my yaya was like, I was the oldest daughter and I took care of all my siblings and I worked in the village and I planted all of those trees and I took care of all these goats and blah 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 blah.
And then I came to Australia when I was 15, like,
you know? And I came to Australia when I was 15 and I worked and worked and worked, like, that was my grandmother's mentality.
Yeah.
And it's just passed on.
Yeah.
Very interesting thought.
Well, I don't know how we got into that, but
Holy moly, what an intro.
Yeah.
That took a turn.
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all, yeah.
Now, Elle, it's time for formalities.
Sweet.
Formalities. Okay. What we like to do is talk about what was number one in music history this week. And when I mean this week, I mean the week that the episode comes out. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay. Now, get this, Elle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In 1980, it's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel.
Oh.
Was number one. I love that song.
Man, he has so many hits.
I don't know the words.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a classic.
Really classic. Really classic. What am I saying?
Really classic.
I was, he came to Australia a few months ago, I was like, you know what? Like, let me listen to some Billy Joel. Like, I feel like I should have gone to this concert. And I put on his Spotify and I just let it play shuffle, and I knew every damn song. Every damn song. And I was like, how, what? Like, some of the songs I was like, whoa, I forgot I knew this song, but, yeah, like, it's so bloody catchy. He's
definitely an artist that you don't realize that you know a lot of. You don't realize that you
love as well.
Yeah. He's definitely that kind of artist.
For sure.
I thought it was interesting what this song is about and what his inspiration was. So apparently he was making a comment about music styles and trends. This is what I read on SongFacts. But at the end of the disco era, there became this new wave sound, which included bands like The Police and The Cars, that kind of music. I love
music. That
kind of
music, to be fair.
And apparently Billy Joel thought that this new sound was just a variation of what we've heard before. And it's been around since the 60s, basically. And he was like, he didn't have the problem with the music, just the way it was being categorized, because it's basically, I like it, but it's nothing new. It's still rock and roll to me.
I would still count it as rock music.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Like, it's kind of, I get what he's saying. Like, everyone's trying to really categorize these certain genres, like, very differently, but the core of it maybe is very similar.
Yeah.
It's still rock and roll to him.
Yeah, so many, like, subcategories within the genre itself. Yeah. And trying to, like, I guess that was probably the time when they were really trying to dissect and, like, categorize genres.
I mean, how many different variations are there of rock music?
Alternative, pop rock, punk rock, 90, like, what's that called? Metal?
Metal.
Metal counts. Screamo. So count of rock.
Screamo.
I feel like
there's, like, country rock.
Country rock, yeah. There's also, country, like, my roommate, he listens to Irish, like, an Irish rock. Not Irish. Oh. No, he listens to, like, Viking rock. Like, it sounds like Viking music. It sounds sick.
Then, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
What's that? Yacht rock?
Yacht rock?
What the hell is yacht rock?
Yeah, I learned. Can you
explain that to me again?
Kind of that's like Hall & Oates-y.
Is
it a new term, though? I don't know.
But the thing is, I never thought, see, this is where this song applies, because I never thought of Hall & Oates as rock.
Really?
No, I always thought of it, like, I guess I kind of just separate it into and throw it in an 80s kind of, like,
category. Ooh, see, I would, like, okay, Chicago, would you consider it rock?
As in, like, Chicago.
No, like,
Chicago. Like, no, I'm joking. That's from Victorious.
Yeah, like, hard to say. I know, I love it. With my crutches. But what was going to say? The Chicago, like, as in, like, hard to say I'm sorry. Like, you, do you know what songs I'm
singing? No,
like,
I know what you mean. Or
Aria Speedwagon. Like, I think of those songs. Yeah, they're
rock to me.
Like, I'm gonna keep on loving you. I think of those as...
No. That's definitely rock to me.
Yeah, like, I think of those as, like, soft rock. See, soft rock?
Soft rock.
I love soft rock.
Soft rock. I like soft rock, too. But no, I... Rock ballads. La, 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 la. Love it.
I assume yacht rock, the way I envisioned it when I first heard the term, until it was explained, was, like, you're on a boat and it's a rockin', like a yacht. And it's, like, songs that you would listen to. Songs that you would
hear on a boat.
Yeah, like, and you'd sail away with them. Because I think of that with those kind of songs, you know?
I guess.
Yeah.
Any song you can sail away to if you're in the right frame.
Come sail away. Yeah.
Yes.
I could literally think of a song for every, like, word, song, word, the whole fucking episode. Fucking. Yeah, what am I saying?
Fucking.
No, I'm saying, like, fucking, like.
Frickin'. What are you, Joe Pesci? Huh? In Home Alone? Frickin'. I'm gonna start calling you Joe Pesci. Huh? Harry! I'm gonna start calling you Harry! Marv!
I love that movie, though.
Yeah, me too.
Those.
In 2002, Hot in Here by Nelly was number one.
It's getting hot in here.
So hot.
So take off all your clothes. I remember when I was a kid hearing this song. I think, what year did you say?
2002.
I felt it was a 2002 song. Mm. I was 7 years old.
Wow, so was get I. A little bit funnily
of
enough.
And a little bit of I like that song so I literally have the whole thing stuck in my head.
Yeah. Dangerous.
did you know...
No, that I didn't.
The so hot in here has like two R's in it.
Yeah, I thought that was an error.
No, I remember when I first like saw learned that
something new.
Interesting.
Hot in here,
and it is actually indicated to prove that it is actually really hot. So it's meant to be like an extra R for like it's really hot. Like it actually
like
is.
Like it's hot in here.
Yeah. The same way that Christina Aguilera's song Dirty has two R's because it's actually really dirty.
What?
And Chingy's Right There has two R's. I don't know what he was. Right like there. It's really right there. I'm assuming it's really right there.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so that's why people of that time were like it's all around the same sort of era, were like putting the extra R in there.
Meant really.
Like, yeah, it kind of meant like like trying to prove like I'm like it's real dirty. Like yeah,
ah, it's yeah. really dirty.
Yeah, dirty. And also very like dirty. It has that like
Saint, getting hot in here.
Yeah, like St. Louis accent swing kind of thing. Oh, I
pop,
don't know.
Popcorn.
The kind of mellow, like the groove of the song yep. is actually based upon the song Bustin' Loose. Which is Bustin a song Loose. By Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers,
uh-huh.
Released in 1978. And that is what also inspired Nelly's line, like, and I feel like bustin' loose and I feel like, yeah.
Ah.
So that's where that little, like, little trinket is. Yeah.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How nice.
Yes. But I was amazed by the R thing.
Yeah.
I always wondered that. And yeah, then when I looked it up, I was like, R? Interesting, interesting.
Yeah. I actually thought it was a spelling error when I saw it here. I didn't know that it was always double R.
I always noticed all three of those songs had the double R, but like I didn't realize it was all intentional.
Ah.
Like I knew that obviously everything is intentional.
Yeah. Everything is everything. Intentional in this life.
Yes. Especially in this industry.
Yes. Everything is intentional. That's what I've learnt. By looking through these breakdowns of Coraline.
Oh, is that what you've been on the TikToks?
Yeah. By the way, guys, I'm back on TikTok and I'm on Coraline TikTok.
Nice.
Scary shit. Everything is intentional, that. L. Do not watch that movie.
Yeah, no, that movie always scared me. Yeah. I never watched it, but my best friend in high school watched it and that's all she talked about for a while.
In 2015, Cheerleader by OMI.
Oh, I love that song.
Was number one. The song is by Omar Samuel Paisley. That's his actual name.
Yep.
Apparently, OMI, so Omi means grandma.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. I thought it was like Omar, but yeah, Omi maybe in another Omar, language. Omi. Yeah.
Well, Jamaican, I'd say. Oh, cool. Because he's a Jamaican reggae singer-songwriter. Also, the song is basically like very intentional about what its meaning is. It's like, oh, I just want to find a cheerleader, someone to support me.
Be right there when I need them.
Be right there when I need her. Mm. Yeah, that's basically it. When it comes to talking about how he came up with this song,
mm-hmm.
apparently when he was 21, he woke up with this tune in his head.
That's cool.
And I always find that so fascinating. Like, yeah. You wake up with a tune. But it's actually a tune that comes from a Jamaican nursery rhyme.
Mm.
And it's basically like, 1, 2, buckle my shoe.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
Dun, 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 dun,
1, 2, buckle my shoe. I don't know.
Yeah. Like 3, 4, knock on the door.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I love you. That's a Beatles song.
I was going to say like start over again, but yeah.
No, that's a Beatles song.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So it was like based off of nursery rhyme.
Yes. Oh, okay. I just read it. Omi means grandma in German.
Oh, yeah. It's Omar.
Oh, that's what it says here, Omi.
Mm.
Mm,
or maybe sure I'm getting confused. No, I'm pretty certain it's Omar and Opa.
It probably is.
Yeah.
This is bull.
Bull. Anyway.
And also apparently his number one cheerleader was his mum.
Oh, that's so sweet. Usually is, to be honest. Mum's love and like support is always like number one.
Usually,
yes.
Usually, with an asterisk. Yep. Usually.
Yes. At least at one point.
Yes. What we also like to do on the podcast is to tell you who you share a birthday with now. Basically, we tell you a birthday. And you tell us whether you share the birthday with that person. If you were born on the 28th of September, you share a birthday with Hilary Duff.
Stop, that's so exciting.
To the beat of my heart.
No, I was thinking so yesterday in my head and then you were doing that and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah, that's when I think of Hilary Duff songs, that's actually the first one I think of.
Really?
Besides, this is what dreams are made of. That one.
I like the voice you use for Hilary.
Dreams.
I love that scene when she moves her body like this. It's like.
It's not her.
Yeah, I know it's not her.
It's not just, her in that scene.
I know, but it's just so fun to witness and think the same thing. Like, that's definitely not that's her. Like, each not time. Her.
That scene always bothered me.
It's same here, but I just, like, love the fact that anyone that's watched that movie just, like, knows that that's not her.
It just feels so unnecessary.
And it's such a like a memorable like a movement.
Yeah, dreams.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it's her singing in that part.
No, I definitely
because maybe not. It goes from like this is what dreams are made of. Like she has that kind of tone. It's like dreams, yeah. And then it's like dreams.
Maybe it was Paolo.
Quite like that.
Was it Paolo?
No, it's not Paolo.
I know, but you sounded a bit like him just then.
Have you ever seen such a beautiful... Sing for me, Paolo.
Hilary Duff was fantastic.
Yeah, we love her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Elle, it's time to introduce our guest.
I actually don't even think I'm ready. It's
and
too exciting.
What a guest. Because our guest today is Mindy Sterling.
Yes, Mindy. I'm actually losing my mind. Losing my mind. She actually is the sweetest bean in the bloody world.
She is. She was amazing. Such an amazing person to talk to. You may know Mindy from the Austin Powers trilogy. She played Frau.
Like,
open the gate!
Release the media!
Yes. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, doctor.
Yeah, doctor, it's a really good plan.
She's also in The Goldbergs, which, guys, if you have not watched it, please watch it because it's like my favorite bloody TV show in the world.
She has such a such a long resume. She's been in the industry for so many years. But before we get to Mindy, we must ask you a few things.
Yes, please.
If you could please support us on any app that you choose to listen to podcasts on, and please support the Patreon. Yes. I don't know what voice I decided to go with.
I quite like that one.
Oh, you like it?
Yes, please support the Patreon. And if you like what you're listening to, we really appreciate if you rated us a 5 out of 5.
Oh my God.
It just helps.
We'll be right back with Mindy. Just the one that we ask about the music, did you have any trouble with that? Because I know some people find it so hard to pick 3 songs.
Well, yeah, because... I think for me it's more music and less a song. Now, of course, some people come on and will go, oh my God, I love this. But
yeah, of course.
I love all kinds of music. And but I'm not the kind of person, and I know that some women are, or some people are, that's like when they're feeling down, they got to write to a certain song, or when they need a little extra, blah, blah, blah. But I just recently went to see Lizzo.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool.
How was that?
In concert in Palm Springs. And the funny thing is, a couple of years ago, I found her and listened to her music and went crazy. And I talked to my friend who's 10 years my junior. And all I said, oh my God, who's Lizzo? She's amazing. And she looked at me and she goes, Mindy, she's been around for a while.
I just discovered this new artist.
And exactly. And it was like, oh my God, she's amazing. So I really, really love her. I love her, what she has to say. I love her story and all that. So I love that. I love anything by the Stones. Yeah, I love anything by the Stones. Because to me, that's the kind of music that just keeps you going, you know, in the car. And then I can tell you that my very first concert that I went to many, 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 many years ago was Alice Cooper.
Ooh. Oh, that's awesome. We're not worthy.
That was, yes. And I thought, oh, I don't want to go. Too many people and it'll be so crowded. And I because it was like a production. I mean, I'm a big musical theater person. I love musicals. Okay. I'm going tonight to see Tina Turner show.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay.
That'd be amazing.
Yes. So, when I saw Alice Cooper, like a play, it was a show, it was a Broadway show. I absolutely loved it, and to this day still love his stuff. And my son and I, who is much younger than I am, several years ago we went together and saw him out here, and we were both singing the same songs.
Oh,
and,
I love that.
So that was a very special moment for me, is that both of us kind of knew exactly what we liked and the words and stuff. So
I cannot wait for that day, because my son's 3 and I cannot wait to be able to take him to concerts and be like, see, son, this is music.
if he lets you, at 3, they want to be with you. Yeah. And you will, and I know you will be, but it's everybody's so different. But the great thing is that we just sort of found something that, oh my God, you know who that is, Max? And yeah, I like it. And so when I go, oh my God, we have to go see, because I heard he was coming. So yeah, you'll find a way to
manipulate like that. I'm excited. So tell us how you got to be Frau. So you were saying before that's your start.
I think that was the one that's just got me going, to then opening doors for me.
Yeah.
My background is improvisation.
Yeah.
And out here, I studied the Groundlings, which is a pretty big deal. A lot of very, very, very famous people came from there. A lot of people on SNL, there was Sherry O'Terry. Anyway, so a lot of people. Yeah. So I started getting involved in that. And we used to do a show. We still actually do a show on Thursday nights, and it's called Cooking with Gas.
Oh, okay.
And usually bring a celebrity or a guest, and they work out with people from the main company, the main Groundlings, or the Sunday company, or alumni, that kind of a thing. Julia Sweeney had brought Mike Myers to come in and play.
That's
and
awesome.
I know. And I was like, oh, we were all like, oh my God, okay, yeah. And we just sort of clicked. He just thought I was so funny. And of course, I was like, oh my God, I think you are amazing. And so we kind of like, he just liked what I did. And so when this audition came in, and I remember I'd met the director before, and I went in there, and all I kept thinking was, oh my God, I had to do a German accent. Well, all my accents seem to sound the same, to be honest with you. Russian, who, whatever. So I just grabbed onto something, and I did it, and I did a little bit of improv. I left, and I thought, oh, it was terrible. You know, you just always kind of like, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. And then I got it. And then I got the second one, and then I got the third one. So being in that trilogy was pretty powerful, since the first Austin Powers didn't really, like, do well. You know, it went out, it wasn't a big hit, and then when it went to VHS,
yeah,
then it became a big hit. So then they were like, hey, how would you like to do the second one? Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Hey, how would you like to do the third one? So very, very, very lucky to be a part of that whole trilogy and all those people that I got to perform with.
That is awesome. It's hard to think that Austin Powers was not a hit, like, especially at one point,
yeah,
you know, because it's got such a cult following now. It is, I gotta tell you, like, it is so present in our lives now. So extremely present.
Well, we need it. We need laughs. We need laughs.
I agree.
People see this, you know, they'll tell me, oh my God, you're such a fan. I watch it all the time. I watched it with my father before he passed, or there's always a beautiful little story. That's what I'm saying. And I'm so touched, and I'm so, when somebody blurts it out, I'm sorry, I don't mean to bother you. I'm like, oh my God, I love it. Please, don't worry about it. You know, because you've done something. You made somebody feel something, and a lot of times it's a precious moment that they got with their family or a friend or something.
I couldn't agree more.
Same here. I couldn't agree more too. And I tend to deal with hard emotions with humor. So I'm always cracking a joke. If I'm cracking jokes, it means I'm trying to deal with something, basically. And whenever whenever I'm feeling down, it's always Gold Member is on.
That's great.
It just makes me feel so good.
I know. I absolutely understand it. I can still, if it's on, I not watch the entire thing, but I'll still go look at it and go, wow, it still has the same value, and it still gives people, even though you know what's going to happen, you know what they're going to say, there's something about him and what he put together and all the characters that is magical.
What I always find interesting, and I, what I'm trying to imagine, right, is because he plays so many different roles, what is it like actually filming in those moments? Like, when you're in a scene where you're in the room with Dr. Evil and Austin Powers and potentially Goldmember, like, how is that filmed? Are you just, like, standing on different angles looking at different people while there's, like, a fake person there? Like,
well, you're what? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And you'll have stand-ins, or you'll have their double.
Yeah. Wow.
And then somebody, so you'll have Mike doing, Dr. Evil. And then if they're talking to Austin Powers, somebody dressed as Austin Powers.
Oh, and they're fully dressed and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we can
visualize.
We can really, you know, use that. Or if they had something, and you know, a shot that was coming through the back of them or on their shoulder. Yeah. Oh, so you did it lots of times because you had, you know, I mean, not all in one day, obviously. But yeah, you really, so these people had to almost be, I think it was just one person actually that did something, that did all the others. I mean, they have to be pretty good.
Yeah, they would have to be. And it has to be so believable from behind as well.
I know, this is one shot in Goldmember. After the part where Dr. Evil's like, I'm Ducky. And then when Seth Green is like, oh, come on. The way Dr. Evil turns, you could just see that it's not Mike Myers.
I think I know.
Do you know? Oh, okay.
You could just see it. It's not Mike Myers.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, and you know now too. So, but yes, that's true.
Honestly, and you're passing it, I think. You were one of the first female characters that I ended up in hysterics over your lines. Because I think growing up, especially we grew up in the 1990s to early 2000s. Yes, right. And there wasn't that much female representation in comedy then, from what I understood. So I used to quote Steve Martin, I'd quote Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, but you're one of the first females I've ever... Yeah. Listen to the lines of and found funny over and over and over again. Yeah. Honestly, to me, you're one of the best in comedy purely because you're just so quotable.
Oh, gosh.
You're so quotable. Not just Austin Powers, iCarly. I love iCarly.
Oh, The Randy Jackson obsession.
Oh, my God. It's freaking hilarious.
I mean, to this day, how many years ago did I do it? I wasn't someone that was on the show all the time. I wasn't a regular, so I was just, you know, I would pop in. But it still has such, ton of people coming up to me. Just that, I would say, when I do Comic-Cons, I would say Austin Powers and iCarly. Those are the two.
Oh, wow.
They hand in hand. It's not just one or the other. And then I have other little things, too. But, oh, there's so many people that grew up with iCarly.
Yeah.
And it's still, I guess it's still played somewhere, the old ones, because people are, they just keep bringing it back and yelling at me and I get things all the time, fan mail. It's so sweet.
I love it.
I do too.
What I would love to know is you've got your son, Max.
Yes.
And you've had such an amazing career. I would love to know how you juggled being a mom while being so known around the world and having a career like that. How does one juggle that?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, at the time when I was doing the Austin Powers, I was married.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have your spouses helping out and doing stuff like that. And then I think then at one point we had to get somebody to, I don't want to say a nanny, but like a babysitter kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then one time I actually was able to get, Kristen Wiig to babysit Max. And I didn't know her very well. She was taking classes at the Groundlings and she said something. I said, oh, I'm looking for a babysitter for Max. And she said, oh, I'll do it. And I went, okay, don't say that unless you really mean it. And she goes, I really mean it. So I contacted her and she came. I think she just picked Max up from school and blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God.
So it was, you know, the really great thing for me was when Max was, and he's adopted as well. When he was born, I had him. I wasn't working. It wasn't that I didn't want to work. It was just not working. I was able to, what I wanted more than anything was be his mom.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be able to go, oh God, I can't, oh, I hope I get home before you fall asleep, you know?
Yeah.
It was really, really good for me and really bonding. And he's been, a real trooper when he was growing up and stuff. I mean, there was always somebody there, whether it be his father or a babysitter or a friend. So, and I wasn't that kind of person that was just like, oh my God, every week, every day, you know, that I was so busy. So it kind of worked out in my favor. really.
That is so, I love that so great. Much. I'd say I find that so inspiring that you can have the career that you want and still take care of your family. Like, we're just starting out at this podcast and it's just gone up a lot quicker than anticipated, and it's been really awesome. And trying to juggle this with having my son, who, like, I'm also a full-time mum as well, so I find it really
inspiring. Are you just you
Me and my husband.
Okay, so you're okay.
Yeah, but he works 6 days a week, so it's not like I can get him to look after him during the day sometimes. Sure. You know, but luckily I've got, you know, great in-laws, so but oh, I just find it so inspiring that you do what you do and you have your son with you. I freaking love that.
Well, I think, you know, look, bottom line too, when you have a child and you are someone either famous or someone that has already been successful or it's starting to grow, you find ways to make it work, you know? I mean, otherwise, why would you have a child if you're not going to work on it and figure it out? Because I always wanted to be with him. I loved being a mom, you know, early on. I love being a mom. Now he's 28. He lives with me. I'm a single mom.
Oh, he's our age.
Same age. And he's, you know, we're very codependent.
Yeah.
And a little bit. And, but we adore each other and we make each other laugh. I learn so much from him. And so that's something, and especially when you adopt someone, obviously for whatever reason, I couldn't get pregnant. So it was like, I really want to have a baby. And so again, so beautifully worked with lawyers and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just incredibly blessed to have him. And congratulations in having your 3-year. What's his name?
James.
James. And do you have a child, my dear?
No,
are a child.
I am still a child.
Yeah,
me.
I know.
But I definitely feel a little bit emotional because I'm in a position at the moment where I'm not too sure if I'm going to be able to have children by naturally. But at the same time, even if I can, I've always had the contemplation of adoption in my mind, like since I was younger as well. So hearing...
Me too.
Yeah, I don't know why I've always had that inkling.
I always said I want to have two, one adopted and one not.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you know, and at first I thought, oh my God, is this going to feel like I'm babysitting somebody else's child?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
You know, that kind of a thing. Because it was an open adoption. So yeah. I knew who she was and she came here and she stayed here. And and gave birth to the baby, and then I put her in a hotel before she went back. When people say I'm having such a hard time, I get it, but don't, if you want a baby, if you want a child, if you want to adopt, you just think of all the people that really could use your love and your commitment and wanting to take care and teach, and that there are, the possibilities are there. And I really am glad that it all worked out for me. I mean, we've heard horrible stories, but knock on wood, mine was glorious.
I love
that
so much.
That is so beautiful. I feel like you have such a refreshing take on motherhood right now. I feel like you look online, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but if you look through TikTok and if you tend to get on like parenting TikTok, a lot of it's pretty negative on how they're... just can't wait for their kids to go to bed, and you know, they can't wait for them to nap or go to school or something. It's just so nice to hear that you just loved being a mom and you just love being around your kids, and it's just
and he was the best like napper. He would sleep for 3 hours.
Oh, so cute.
I don't know how that happened. Oh my God, it was pretty amazing. And no, I've loved everything about it. Not to say that, oh my God, we all have our own shoes.
Yeah,
oh my God. And even now you butt heads, or you know, I'm annoying.
I love your hashtag mom, annoying
mom. My room. Yeah. The annoying mom, if you follow me.
Yes.
On my Instagram. And but we really do appreciate one another. And I always let people know when they're feeling like it's hard or I'm of that age. You know what? I was 40 when I adopted him. So Okay. Don't feel that it's something that you can't handle or can't do. I think, and you never know what you're going to get. You never know what kind of a kid you're going to get. You never know if I wanted a boy or a girl. First, I wanted a girl because, you know, oh, we can dress her up. and then I'm like, oh, no, I'm so glad I have a boy. I think girls we're a little tougher. And, so there is a possibility there. So don't ever shut that door until you look into it and give it, a possibility that this could happen.
I actually really love that you did that at 40, because I think, especially being of Greek background, like it was spoken about on a few other episodes, that there is that external pressure from parents and grandparents to, you have a ticking time clock, like you have a time clock before 30.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, and I have career aspirations I want to achieve. I want to be able to do so many other things to make sure that I'm in a position to be ready to like handle that commitment. I recently got diagnosed with ADHD, which has made me learning about myself a whole new task now, and neurodivergency, and knowing that if I am going to have a child, that they're likely going to also be neurodivergent is something I thought.
But
I
don't you think
it's like an amazing idea?
But don't you think? Okay, because I swear I think I have ADHD. Now I'm gonna be 70.
Yeah.
Nobody ever, you know, that wasn't something we blah, 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 blah. But when I read, because I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
I have no focus.
Yeah.
Me too.
I have a really hard time memorizing and retaining things.
Right.
I don't read because I'll read something and then 2 minutes later, I don't know what I just read.
You're literally speaking to me so much.
Yeah.
I'm spacey. I'm not someone that, like, if you're talking to me, I'm there listening, because some people will you know, they're doing so many other things, and I, you know, I'd be like, hello, I'm here, I'm here.
Yeah,
so I have some things that I really do believe are those, you know, kind of features, and then some are not. Like, I have I'm very impatient.
Yeah.
I am I can't sit still.
Yeah. Like, so like you've got a motor inside of you that's always running.
So,
ants in your pants.
And you know what? So the world, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. The world, and because that means we're all real creative, you know, we have, that's what I've heard. Mm. But the whole world, there's so much that we are trying to absorb and trying to learn that some of us, I can't go that fast.
Yeah.
I may be all over the place, but I can't, if there's too much going on, watching something, and if I'm watching something on, you know, on Netflix or something, and it's like, I didn't understand this because I can't follow all these people.
Yeah.
And it has to be simple for me. And don't worry about, am I going to pass it up? Probably, but it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Because there's so many ways that you can work through it. I have lots of friends. I think, to me, I don't think I know anybody that's not. Yeah.
That's actually a conversation that I've had, like, with Elle and even my husband, or just random people, where it's like, I feel like we all have...
Everyone has their thing.
Everyone has something that could be something. Do you know what I mean?
That's what we're made up of. And the world has created and is still creating all this stuff that we have to follow.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to remember. And I can't, and I get overwhelmed very quickly.
Yes, mm-hmm. I can
very quickly.
Yeah.
And I get lots of anxiety.
Mm.
And my son is on the autistic spectrum.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we, obviously found that out after he was born and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. He's smart, but there are some things he can't relate to. And he's learned to teach me, okay, what's going on right now? This is going on. And blah, blah, blah. Great. Okay. What can we do? It was really hard when he was little because he didn't have a take on it. And now that he's older, he's amazing to talk to. I love when he goes into something and he's like, sorry, it's just an autistic thing. And you're like, and that's me, I could say, yeah, it's just an ADHD thing.
Yeah.
So we've all got something. There is no one that is the perfect specimen you know, without issues, problems, anxiety.
Yeah, of course.
Fears. Yeah, it just is.
Yeah, it's like this illusion that if you're neurodivergent or if you think slightly differently, that you're not fitting into society. But that's not an actual fact. It's just what society has always known. Like, it's very, like, created.
I know, yeah, it's not, because is anyone actually like that?
No, no one is perfect. Yeah. No one's normal. But it's like, it's just like the societal standard. And some people are just better at playing that societal standard.
Exactly. Well, and think about it. What is perfect? What is normal? Yeah. What is, you know, just the this is how everybody supposedly should be? No, somebody can be great at athlete and, you know, but doesn't like to speak in front of a lot of people. Yeah. Somebody, I mean, there's, you know what I mean? So there's so many things that we just take for granted. And then when we are labeled, like, I was never labeled. I'm just coming up with, why am I so, you know, so sporadic? Why can't I remember things? Why am I, I can't focus on something. Why I don't remember what I just read, or, oh my God, there's a lot of words. I can't read it. So what's wrong with me? And then you start beating yourself up. But if you get a name of it, then we all feel, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Now there's no mystery. Now I get it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's everything.
That's the
So there is a little bit of,
yeah.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, like, that's what I think was the thing that made me seek out the diagnosis, because I was like, I feel very, I can sense this difference between me and my peers, especially when I was younger. And I, for a lot of time, was in my head thinking, it's a me problem, it's a me problem, it's a me problem. Why can I not get it? Why can I not get this? And then once I've worked out, oh, ADHD is not just kids screaming in class and not just boys that are, like, over-energetic. It can be, like, show up like this. I'm like, oh, like, that's what it was. Like, that's what this is. This is, like, not saying ADHD is who I am, but, like, it gave me an explanation, and now I can let go of the self-hatred and I can just be like,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
That is so what it is. And I'm trying to do that more and more, thinking, because, you know, oh my God, I'm getting older. Is that what that means? Blah, blah. And I asked a friend of mine who I grew up with. I grew up in Miami, Florida.
Oh,
and she was one of my dearest friends. She lived across the street from me. And I said, her name was Madeline. And I said, Madeline, have I always been a little crazy? And she goes, you've had no focus.
Right.
And I go, really? She goes, yeah, you've always had a problem with focusing. And it was like, oh, because I thought maybe, oh, am I drinking too much? Am I eating too much, you know, mercury in my fish? And you start, like, going, it's my fault. It's my fault. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And no, we're okay. You know, we just have to learn how to let it go and be okay with it and go, I'm healthy. I have so many other things that I'm good at.
Exactly.
And every now and then it's like, I'm just, there's too much going on in this world for me to keep it up, you know, to keep everything together. How many times have I walked out without my fucking phone?
I did that this morning. As on my way here, I literally got here a little bit late, and I was like to Elle, I'm sorry, I'm a bit late. I had to go back inside to grab my phone, and then I had to go back inside to grab my camera and back inside to get my medication. And I'm like,
oh man.
It's there's so much we're trying to pursue or trying to do. They're giving us, you got to do this, you got to do this. And it's like, oh my God, what happened to just sort of simplifying everything and not having so much? Now, some people are really, oh, I love all this. I love all this new stuff I'm learning and technical stuff and new things and AIs coming into the picture. And it's like, whoa, maybe I should just be at a farm or something.
That's what I feel. I get an existential crisis when I think of AI.
I know. It scares the shit out of me. I've got to be totally honest.
I know. I just want to chill on a beach, and it's like me in my little house at a beach. That's
I know.
I'm telling you, that's it. I live in Santa Monica near the beach, and I have a great apartment. I mean, I just go, wow, I'm really lucky, and again, so grateful for so many things. And then when something bothers me, I try to not let it take me over or hate myself. Like, why can't I remember that?
Yeah. We know that you're a cancer survivor.
Yes.
Which is, first of all, absolutely fucking fantastic. Sorry to swear, but it really is.
Thank you.
Being through that experience, how do you think that's changed your perspective on life?
Well, it's really interesting because I really thought when I was done with you know, all of my treatments and stuff, and time goes by and I think, oh my God, why aren't I feeling this very like a fork? Why aren't I feeling, oh my God, you know, life, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I thought that that's what you're supposed to, like there's some button that goes off and it and you all of a sudden you change what you're doing. And I didn't. And I just was like, Just get on with your life. Keep doing what you were doing when you had cancer, but now you have more energy and blah, blah, blah. I think that I think about it all the time, not to a point where, I mean, every time I get something wrong, what is that? Is that cancer?
Right. Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah.
I do that. I and my doctors know, Mindy, no, it's, you know, it's not cancer. It's just, you know, a dog bit you or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's so extreme. which is horrible. Yeah. And then, no dog has bit me. Okay. But I don't know, it just came out that
I know,
way.
But
I tried to give, you know, I was very open with it. I was very, I wanted to talk to people and help people that were going through chemo and going through things. I still, to this day, someone will call me and go, hey, a friend of mine or, you know, someone I know or blah, blah, blah is going through this. I thought maybe, how would you feel about talking to her or seeing what she's going through? But I went, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm always there to do that. And definitely have done a lot of charity work. I was doing working with Leukemia Lymphoma to raise money. And I did. They have this thing called I think they probably around the world, and they have this thing called Woman and Man of the Year. And you have like this 10 week thing of trying to raise as much money as you can in however you want to do it. I did shows. I had a friend of mine put together stand-ups. And so I did whatever I could to make money for this. And the first time I did it, I think it was 2010 or something, like 11. When I was asked to do it, I was like, you know what? I'd gone through a divorce. And I went, there's a reason for this. There was a good reason for this. I need to get involved. And I won Woman of the Year.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I kept, you know, with the program and kept helping people. And then they would come back to me and they'd go, would you do it again? And I went, all right, I'll do it again. I did it again. And I said, look, I don't need to win again. Yeah. I've already done it. I don't want to win again. Somebody else, I don't get anything other than, you know, yay. And it was like, somebody else needs to win. But I'll be more than happy to... you know, to offer whatever I can. So I've done it 3 times. And I love doing that kind of thing.
I
think that's an incredible organization, Leukemia Lymphoma, because a lot of what the money and the research they get helps so many other cancers. It's not just theirs.
Yeah,
exactly. Mine was breast cancer, but I went out and did, you know, some other kind of cancer. So it's, look, cancer's cancer.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just shitty. It's just really
it's
shitty.
Just shit, yeah.
It was just shit. I went through, you know, lost my hair, and I went through everything. I did not get mastectomies. They were able to keep my breasts, and they got in there and got whatever they needed. But you know, every time I go to see the doctor and just get, you know, just normal, you know, there's always that I'm gonna wait until they call me back. Go, everything's good.
Yeah,
you know, just you know, because it doesn't go away. I'm just not, it's not on top of me.
Yeah.
Do you find that as time goes on, it's easier to not let those fears get to you? Because I feel like it would be so easy to let it overwhelm you.
Well, because I don't think about it all the time, and because when I do think about it, when I feel something's wrong, or I feel, why, what's this on, you know, my eye? What's this? I mean, I remember, I got, which everybody will get here. What are they called? Floaters.
Oh, I always
get older. These, and all of a sudden you're like, what's that? What, it's black. And it's, and I remember going in there going, is it cancer? No, it's not cancer.
I have actually done the same thing. I got an ophthalmologist, got MRI scans and everything, because it's scary, because you don't know what's causing the floaters. Right. It could be a retina detachment.
And
it could
also, I never heard of it. No one ever said to me, this is what you're going to get. No one's sitting there going, okay, how old are you? This is what, you know. Blah, blah. So I didn't know what that was. All I knew was I'm seeing weird things.
Mm. I used to see spider webs in the corner of my eye, like, and it was like I could actually, it felt like I was physically seeing them, and I could just grab them at any time. And then it turned out that
I kept thinking I had something in my eye, and I would go, oh, I'm a mascara, or what is, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like a smudge.
And it was, no. So it was like, I'm so glad that it's something then, and it's not, you know, something horrible, but I think you go to that place. That's the first place you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. As soon as something's a little bit abnormal.
If you've had cancer,
Oh, especially if you already had something,
for sure.
Yeah. And you just, you keep busy, and you you just hope that, you know, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to live a great long life. And I am going to try to live my best life possible, because life is too short.
Yeah.
I'm not ready.
Yeah,
I know. And you just need a laugh, I think.
Yeah, we've read that you've said in the past that, like, laughter is kind of what got you through, and being able to laugh at.
Big time. You know, I mean, and then I've heard that from people too, you know, young kids going, God, I have to thank you. My high school days or my teenage days were just horrible. I lost my mother and blah, 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 blah. And then I would start watching you, and you're like, God, isn't that the best gift to hear?
Yeah.
Is how I help get you through your horrible time in college or high school or whatever. Yeah. Just making you laugh.
Yeah, it is interesting what you said before, because, like, when you mentioned that you were there with people's family moments, and for me, like, before my parents got divorced, that's Goldmember was the movie we watched religiously.
Yeah.
Like, almost every single week, that was our movie. And even now, as I'm older, it's still the thing that connects us. Like, I can go to my dad's house, have a conversation. Like, I went and told him, like, Dad, I'm talking to Frau. And he was like, oh, my God. And then I went to my mum, and I'm like, I'm talking to Frau. She's like, what? Like, that's our thing. And it, like, it really is, like, something that, regardless of the, even though they might not talk to each other, it still is, like, the connective piece of my life. And even for my sister and my best friend, we always talk about you. So it's just beautiful. And then being able to watch you in The Goldbergs, which, by the way, is my favorite show. Like, I can't even explain to you. Like,
Are you upset that it's over?
And I've been watching Never Have I Ever, and Murray, I'm going to call him Murray, but Murray was in it. And I was like, no, I just need you to be in Goldbergs. Like, I just want everything to be. It is such a well-created show, and, like, I've literally been getting – I've tried to get every single person onto it, because I'm, like, a bit of a – I love shows like that. I love, like, family, happy kind of TV shows.
It's so outrageous and silly. It's the writing, everything is just – you're just – what a – I mean, you know, and you know that they all loved one another, and you know that – But it really just showed how annoying we all are as a family, and yet we love each other so much. But oh my God, I mean, a mother like that, and she was Beverly. Really like that, Beverly, and it was definitely like I did it for 5 years, and I had the best time. And it's one of those shows, when it ended, I was a little. I'm grieving a little bit. I had so much fun. I don't know if I'm going to get anything like that again.
Oh,
and I know, because you just don't know, you know.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I had loved the people, great people. And so it is nice. I know a lot of people that don't watch it or didn't care for it, which is fine. But it's nice to hear, you know, you say how much you like it.
I love it.
It's,
It's funny because you said you grieved it and I'm grieving it as a watcher. Like, we always talk about, we get too invested in TV shows and movies sometimes. And it's one of those shows where I quite literally feel devastated when I know that I've finished the whole series again and then I have to go rewatch it. Because it it's interesting because as an adult, I haven't found any new. I'm that type of person that rewatches the same thing over and over, and everything I watch is from prior to the 2010s. So like,
oh wow,
yeah. So like, for me to like a newer show and to be this obsessed with it, it definitely, I think it's because it hits all the things I enjoy. Like, it has 80s music in it, talks about TV shows and movies that I love, and I love the concept of Adam's life and the fact that it's based on a true story and the fact that you're in it and the fact, like, literally there's so many things about it that just really hit a perfect spot for me. So, and then when I try explaining to like, my friend to watch it, they're like, oh, okay, I'll give it a go. I'm like, you're not going to give it a go. You have to give it a go. You don't get it.
But you want to share that. You want to share that with somebody where you can both go, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But my sister likes it, so it's like our thing now.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome, sweet. Thank you.
I loved it so much. And you were fantastic as Jeff's mom. I found it so funny watching you watch your daughter in the show sing, and you were like,
Well, it's so funny how they wrote it. It's like, you know, for a while it was like Linda was just, she just got battered between her husband and Beverly. And, you know, I was just always like, oh, and Linda. I know. It was just, but all of us were just, some of the lines that she said made her laugh so hard that she has to tell us, you big piece of, you know, crappy, you know, I mean, they were horrible. And every time we came back, the other girls and I were like, why do we come back if she's so horrible?
Yes, it's such a bad indication of boundaries between friends. Like, but at the same time, it's so good.
So funny.
Oh my gosh. So one thing that we really wanted to ask you about was the theme song to Family Ties.
No, not me.
It's not you. Yes, I was going to say, because when we're listening to her, I'm like, I just can't picture her voice. It doesn't make sense.
Where did this come from? That it's you.
Okay, there's another lady called
Mindy Sterling.
Because her name was Mindy Sterling.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So she, and I guess she was in the music union. And you're not the first ones to ask me. I've had so many people say that.
Yes.
And I knew that. I knew immediately when you said, I have to ask you something.
Yes.
That's it, not me.
Yeah.
No, but the funny thing is, she co-wrote it, and this was years ago. Where I was living at the time, there was a club nearby, and I saw her name, Mindy Sterling, is going to be there, and I went, oh my God, I got to meet her.
Meet
her. This is the coolest thing. So I went, and I asked to see her, and I said, Mindy, this is Mindy. And we started talking. She was so lovely and so wonderful. But I do, it is kind of odd that I, if you look her up, I think she's on, probably, I don't know if she's on Instagram, but maybe it might be Facebook.
Yeah.
Look her, it's, you know, Mindy Sterling.
Yeah.
I don't, because I'm Mindy Sterling too, but mine is a different name. I mean, my name is Mindy Sterling on Facebook, but somehow you'll see other people.
Maybe
she's
come up with musician.
Oh, blonde, yeah.
Oh, she's blonde.
And she's blonde.
Right, okay.
She's got blonde hair and it's long. So you'll probably find her.
Yeah, ooh. Okay, we're definitely going to look into it.
Yeah, I'm going to find her, ask her to be on the podcast and be like, so what's it like getting confused with the other Mindy Sterling?
Yeah.
That's the only
like, do people think that you're in Gold Member? Like, what is this?
I know, and probably, you know, I mean, that could be very well be. I'm sure she gets that too. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, we don't want to take too much of your time up, but the last question we had for you was, if you could speak to your inner child or your younger self, what is something that you would say to them now?
Oh, wow. What would I say? Always, you know, something like, don't blame yourself for everything.
Yeah.
I'm it's so interesting because there are people that you probably know that blame everybody else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm very hard on myself. Don't be so hard on Yeah. It's not that I'm a perfectionist. I just, I'm trying, and Max too, is we're just trying to help each other out. So if something doesn't work, or if it's okay if I don't like something, or I'm learning to, to not, you know, be mad at myself.
Yeah.
To know I did the best I could, or it's just, you know, as my son says, Max, what do you say? It just happens. Because we always say shit happens. And you know what I mean? And then you're like, you're right. It's just life. Not everything's going to be so given to you, so perfect, or reward you in a way that you think. Don't worry about it. Just do the best you can.
Yeah.
And don't, because boy, you know, when you beat yourself up, it takes such a long time to get back on the game and go, all right.
Yeah.
Because we're all here. We're all here to fall, and we're all here to get up.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's that's it. It's like, you have to fall. You have to feel sad. You have to be angry, but it doesn't have to be at yourself.
Yeah. You're so right.
Beautifully said.
You are so right. I don't know why sometimes it's our first instinct to just blame ourselves and to be like, it's because of you people are like this, or it's because of you this and this happens.
Yeah.
Like, why is that?
It's blaming, like you said, it's blaming yourself or blaming others. It's always a deflection either way. So when it's usually someone else, like an external source, we want to take it internally. When it's an internal source, we want to push it externally. And it's weird. Sometimes we just don't let things be and don't just accept that maybe it's like just how life is, and that everyone plays a part.
And it makes people can get annoyed with you, or people, you know, like, why are you late? I'm sorry. But you're always late.
Oh, okay,
well, if I'm always late, then why would you get mad at me?
Yes!
I have a friend.
I am saying that next.
Who is always, always late.
Yeah.
He knows it. She's chronically late. You know, she'll say, great, I'll see you at 6:15. I went, in my mind, I go, all right, so that probably means about 6:40.
Yeah.
I'll be there at 6:40. You know, it's like, and if I don't want to go with her for something, then I should just go myself. I know that I need to get there early.
Yeah.
Then I go by myself. You know, so it's those kind of things where it's like, it's not going to change. Yeah. So she is.
Yeah. Yes. It's just accepting people for who they are and the situation that comes and flies at us. Like, we can't control the good and bad moments in our life. And like you said, we're destined to fall and destined to pick ourselves back up. And it's part of the journey, I suppose. Yeah. It's just all part of it.
It is. We are living in a journey.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Every time I say journey,
you guys are so adorable, and I am so glad that you asked me to do this, and I am so glad that we got to do this. And my God, if you ever come out here,
please,
we have to see each other.
Yes.
Oh, Mindy, please.
Yes.
Oh, we have to.
Okay, I will book a ticket for tomorrow.
I definitely think that has to. There's got to be other people here that you want to see too.
Oh, 100%.
Yes, of course.
Exactly. It's definitely an idea that we have for the future. Yeah. But yes, it honestly means the world to us. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, you've made our life.
Yes, you know, honestly. And mind you, you are delightful women. You are, you know, we all have our flaws. I love how honest you were with me about your lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a child. You're going to have one or not. It's okay to not. But you know what? When people bug you about it, go, I don't think it's any of your business.
So right.
But thank you. I'll think about it. But thank you.
I'll take it in. But you know, f off.
Think about it. Okay, great. Note to self: try to have a baby. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
But
okay, I didn't think of that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks. But thank you guys so much.
No, thank you. Enjoy your show tonight.
Thank you.
And we're wishing you all.
I'll let you know. How about that? I'll send you. Tomorrow I'll send you an email.
Yes.
Oh,
let us know. Give us an update. I want to know how it goes.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Beautiful.
Absolutely, you guys. What time is it there?
It's 11 a.m. So
go. Oh, it's early. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then go have brunch.
We will. Yeah. All right, lovely.
Enjoy your night.
Bye, you guys. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
She's genuinely one of the funnier actresses out there.
She's hilarious.
She's one of the first actresses that I was like, she's hilarious.
Yeah. And speaking to her as well was really, really surreal because it was like, she wasn't just like funny. She's not just funny on screen. Like, you can tell she's got like a natural like wit about her.
Oh, such a natural wit. When she was talking about how paranoid she can be over certain things that happen to her body and she's afraid that it could be cancer coming back, which is totally understandable. When you go through something traumatic like that, it tends to leave a scar. And I mean that metaphorically, not physically, but yeah. Also physically. But I love when she was like, and I'm going to butcher the shit out of it, but it made me laugh so hard when she was like, oh, is this cancer? To the doctor. And he's like, no, a dog bit you.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I love the way she just like, she was like, I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah,
just
like, it was so freaking funny. She is, oh my God, she was such a joy to speak to.
Yeah, she has a really beautiful outlook on life as well. And like, is someone that really takes life under her wing. Like, she's really willing to just like live within the flow of life, which is sort of what we're talking about at the beginning of the episode, I feel. Like, she really just like knows how to ride the waves of life and just find a way to enjoy each and savor each moment.
Yes.
From the sounds of it. And like, I just love the love she has for her son.
Oh, I love so the bond beautiful. That
they have. She just speaks with so much passion about what she does and so much passion about like the life she lives.
Yeah.
And the home she comes back to afterwards as well. And it's like...
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
It makes me really happy.
It makes me very happy as well.
Yeah. And the fact she gives people like us the time of day.
I know. I really can't believe it. Thank you, Mindy.
Yes.
We love you. We love you. We really do.
We really do.
Also, please go look at her Instagram. I love it. Love, 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 love her Instagram. I especially love the post that she puts up with her son.
Hmm. She's like, hashtag annoying mum.
Annoying mum. I love it. Goals as a mum. I just want to be that annoying. Not that she's annoying at all.
No, she's not annoying at all. But like, just like that mum that like picks on her kid on purpose, but like in a very endearing way.
It's really beautiful. Please go check out not only Mindy's Instagram, but just her whole entire body of work. She is just freaking talented. Like, I love her on iCarly and that she's obsessed with Randy Jackson. Such a funny detail, and she really owns it.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
No, she's honestly gold. I was actually watching an episode of Friends the other night, and she was in a bit of the episode, and I was like, God, this woman just like, even if you're only in like the bit for like that little piece of moment, it's just you're so hilarious in that tiny piece of moment.
She lights up any scene that she's in. Yeah.
Very much so. And Mindy, we love you.
We freaking love you.
Love you. Love you. Love you.
We can't wait to give you the biggest hug in the whole wide world. Yes.
And honestly, this, for us guys, this is like the essence of our humor, the essence of our like love for each other as well. Like, quoting Goldmember on this podcast goes hand in hand with talking about music. Like, it's very equal part if you go through and listen to the whole collection of the podcast. Yes. So, this is an episode that is very true to the podcast and is very much like, it wouldn't be Daydream Believers if we did not talk.
Nope.
To Frau.
It really wouldn't. She's a part of our personality at this point.
Yeah.
And Mindy, you're just going to have to accept that.
Yeah.
Okay.